It's so good to be in the Lord's house today. Thank you for coming to church this morning. No place we'd rather be, amen, than in the house of the Lord on a Sunday. Monsters. Have any? Know any? Ever ran into any? Ever ran from any? A child is asked to retrieve something from the basement, the cellar, the vault, the crypt. Even the thought of the journey causing fear to grip the child. Son, daughter, go get from the basement. Can someone else go? I asked you, just go, go quickly. But it's dark. Well, thank God we have lights. But it's scary. There's nothing to be afraid of. There are monsters. There's no such thing as monsters. Is there or isn't there? All the imaginary kind do not exist. These figments of the imagination, these fabrications, illusions, apparitions of the make-belief, my, how they can affect any effect. And should there be an actual apparition in the cellar, it's a phantom of the demonic. Unless an angel is keeping watch. I mean, you can tell the child you were just down there. And still, the terror. Job 40, verse 15, now behold, behemoth which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Job 41, 1, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down. Psalm 104, verse 26, reading from the voice, our ships skim her surface while the monsters of the sea play beneath. Well, let's read a few more scriptures with the mention of monsters before we carry on. Isaiah 27, verse 1, on that day the Eternal One will unsheath his sword, fierce, great, and strong, and punish the monster of chaos and terror. Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, he will strike Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and slay the dragon of the sea. Isaiah 34, verses 13 to 14, thorns will overrun the palaces, nettles will grow in its forts, and it will become the haunt of jackals and the home of ostriches. The wild animals of the desert will mingle there with wolves and hyenas. Their howls will fill the night. There the night monsters will scream at each other and the demons will come there to rest. Ezekiel 29:3, speak and say, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lieth in the midst of the rivers, which saith, my river is mine own, and I made it for myself. Matthew 12, verse 40, even as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Revelation 11, 7, but when they finish their testimony and their evidence is all in, the beast, monster that comes up out of the abyss, bottomless pit, will wage war on them and conquer them and kill them. I guess monsters do exist. No, not the imaginary ones, but the real ones. And do we not live in a world of monster decisions? Monster situations, monster circumstances, monster problems. monster agendas, monster temptations and reports and diagnosis, monster pains, monster conditions, monster addictions, and so on. How do we deal with these? How do we handle these? Can we? How do we deal with the physical and mental and emotional and spiritual monsters? How do we deal with the monster within? Strange message. No, not so strange. The man Job. Let's just deal with those scriptures, the ones first presented, Job 40, verse 15. Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Job 41, 1. Canst thou draw Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? The Amplified Classic. Behold now, behemoth, the hippopotamus, which I created as I did you, he eats grass like an ox. Can you draw Leviathan, the crocodile, with a fish hook, or press down his tongue with a cord? Are these monsters? The message reads, the land beast, behemoth, the sea beast, Leviathan. The NLT, take a look at behemoth. Can you catch Leviathan with a hook or put a noose around its jaw? Job, a man. What a monster Job faced. What a monster set of circumstances. What monster comforters. What monster accusations and judgments. What a scare. What an attack. Yeah, incredible. Unimaginable. And definitely not imaginary. Job 40:15 and Job 41:1. What are you saying, Lord? What are you trying to say, Lord? What are you getting at? What are you teaching us, Lord? Behemoth. Must have been some hippo. Leviathan, some crocodile. I share the words of David Wilkerson. God said to Job, behold now, behemoth, the hippopotamus, which I made with thee. Canst thou draw Leviathan, the crocodile, with an hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Why would God begin his revelation by having Job consider these two massive monsters? Why would God have Job look into the faces of a hippopotamus and a crocodile? First, the Lord posed this problem to his servant. Look, Job, here comes the hippopotamus after you. What are you going to do? Can you wrestle him down in your physical strength? No? Maybe you can try and sweet talk him. Now behold the crocodile that's threatening. How will you handle him? This creature has a heart of stone. He has no concept of mercy. This was more than a simple lecture about the animal kingdom. Rather, God was telling Job something about life's monsters. He was showing his servant that these two awesome, ferocious, overpowering creatures represented the monstrous problems raging in Job's life. Consider the hippo. He tramples down everything in sight. He's simply too big a problem for you to handle, Job. You're no match. You are no match for him whatsoever. Nothing you can do will tame him. Only I, the Lord, know how to stop such a monstrous creature. And what about the crocodile, Job? No human can do battle with such a creature. And nobody in his own strength can strip the crocodile of his thick armor. The same is true of your spiritual enemy, the devil. Only I can deal with the battle. Only I can win the battle with him. Do you hear what God is saying in this speech? He's speaking not just to Job, but to all believers. And he's declaring, face the truth. Face the truth about the monsters in your life. You can't handle them. I'm the only one who can. Job answered, my God is all powerful. He can do all things. And no purpose of his can ever be thwarted. I know I can't stand up against the hippo or the crocodile, but that does not matter. I know God can. My part is simply to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Voice Bible, turn your attention to Behemoth the Beast. Now let us not stop there. What of Leviathan? Can you haul it in on the end of a hook or strap down its tongue with your line? Here comes the hippo. I'll wrestle him down. Can you wrestle him down in your physical strength? No. Maybe you can try to sweet talk him. Right. Here comes the croc. I've got a hook and a strap. I'll bind and strip this croc of his armor. How will you handle him? This creature has a heart of stone. He has no concept of mercy. Brother, sister, the hippo, he tramples down everything in sight. He's simply too big a problem for you to handle. You are no match for him whatsoever. Nothing you can do will tame him. The crocodile, no human can do battle with such a creature, and nobody in his own strength can strip the crocodile of his thick armor. The same is true of your spiritual enemy, the devil. Only I, the Lord, know how to stop such monstrous creatures. Only I can win the battle with these. Behemoth, Leviathan. It's time. Yeah, it's time to face the truth about the monsters in your life. Face the truth about the monsters in our lives. You can't handle them. We can't handle them. Only God can. What's your answer? What do you have to say? Going to try to handle these on your own? You think you can handle the job? What do you have to say, Job? Give answer. Job 42:1-2, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. What do you have to say, pilgrim? Give answer. The NLT, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. The NLV, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things. Nothing can put a stop to your plans. Children of the Most High God, sons, daughters, Christian, the GNT, I know, Lord, that you are all powerful. What might the hippo represent today? What might the croc represent today? Concerning you, concerning yours, concerning us, a behemoth monster, a Leviathan monster. So, we answer, our God is all-powerful. He can do all things, and no purpose of his can ever be thwarted. We No, we can't stand up against the hippo or the crocodile, but that doesn't matter. We know God can. Our part is simply to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yes, only you, Lord, know how to stop such monstrous creatures. Only you can win the battle. Exodus 14:13, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. How about the monster of the many? A lot of monster types. Yeah, I hear you, psalmist. Psalm 3:1-8, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around. You're a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Psalm 62:1-2. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, literally strong tower. I shall not be greatly moved. I shall not be greatly shaken. Yes. What of that monster within? Romans 7:24-25. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You ever been surprised by the monster within? Situation, circumstance, whatever might be going on, conversation, and the monster. You're like, where did that come from? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me? I remember when in Africa, crouching, peering through the brush, looking at a herd of wild hippos in a body of water. The Maasai guide had taken us close, almost too close, this exception because of circumstances. And he warned us to stay still. He said, you can't outrun the hippo. Here comes a hippo. I'll outrun it. Right. Look it up. You can't. Here comes the croc. I'll outswim it. Right. Look it up. You can't. You know, I wonder if we just face the truth about the monsters in our lives, would we see more of them wrestled down, tied up, descaled, dealt with, stopped, defeated, exterminated? You see, let's be honest. It's not easy for humankind to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Not the natural default. Not the natural default for humankind to admit that only God knows how to stop such monstrous creatures. Only God can win the battle. Psalm 78, Verses 41 to 42, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. They did not remember his hand. To all believers and to all unbelievers, he's declaring, face the truth. Face the truth about the monsters in your life. You can't handle them. I am the only one who can. You know, there was nothing Job could do. He needed to stand still and see the salvation of God. There was simply no other way. These behemoths and leviathans and the monster of monsters he was facing, the behemoth, Leviathan. There are monsters we simply can't deal with on our own. Monsters without and monsters within. Is there a monster in the closet? Listen, God's going to speak. Is there a monster in the closet? You know it's there. You refuse to open the door. You know you can't handle it. You can't face it on your own. You don't want anyone to know it's there. But God knows. Are skeletons monsters? You know, a skeleton in the closet. Sometimes we need to turn up the lights. Sometimes we need to turn up the lights. Turn the lights on. Turn up the lights. Only to find that the monster shadow is only a mouse with a mouse-sized hand torch. And yet even here, Psalm 27, 1-3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. The Voice Bible, the Eternal is my light amidst my darkness and my rescue in times of trouble. So whom shall I fear? He surrounds me with a fortress of protection, so nothing should cause me alarm. When my enemies advanced to devour me alive, they tripped and fell flat on their faces into the soil. When the armies of the enemy surround me, I will not be afraid. When death calls for me in the midst of war, my soul is confident and unmoved. The Wycliffe Bible, the Lord is my light and my salvation or my deliverance. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the defender of my life. I love this line. For who else shall I tremble or shake over? Well, the noisome men nigh on me, for to eat my flesh is mine enemies that troubled me. They were made sick and fell down. All the while, harmful or dangerous men come near to me to eat my flesh, but my enemies, those who troubled me, were made feeble or weak. They all fell down. Though castles stand together against me, mine heart shall not dread. Though hosts or armies stand together against me, my heart shall not fear. Though battle riseth against me in this thing, I shall have hope. Monsters aren't always ginormous. A little monster mouse has scared many and even sent them running out of town, and you get a call, sheer panic, freaking out. A certain someone is up on the kitchen island because there's a mouse in the house. Maybe it's a monstrous pest we are dealing with that we can't deal with. Lord can help us. People of God, remember the past salvations. Remember what the Lord has done. Go over the history. How the hippo and the croc were gloriously defeated. If we've got monsters, we've got a monstrous God. We can't go on ignoring the ones that exist, trying to hide from them, to avoid them. For sure, the ones within. We need the Lord to deal with the ones beneath the skin. These monsters rise, having their way with us, even controlling us and delivering fright and even flight to others. Others in our world. Others in our homes. Lord, I don't want to live like this any longer. Live with this any longer. Sin is a monster. God, help us in this. I read these words. Happy the Christian who sees in every sin a monster that could easily snare him eternally were it not for the grace of God. Some monsters don't appear like monsters. A world full of monsters with friendly faces. Good-looking faces. Lord God, give us discernment. And help us keep our wits about us. There are monsters in the Bible that I'm thankful for. Remember Jonah? A man on the run. A man running from the call of God. God's direction, and Jonah takes off. Jonah 1, reading from the ISV. Now this message from the Lord came to Amittai's son Jonah. Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city. Then cry out in protest against it, because their evil has come to my attention. But Jonah got up and fled from the Lord of Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, secured passage on a ship bound for Tarshish, paid the fare. He pulled money out of his pocket to get away from God and boarded, intending to go with the mariners to Tarshish to escape from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind over the sea, and a severe storm broke out. It seemed as if the ship were about to break up. At this point, the mariners became afraid, and each man cried out to his gods. They began to throw the cargo into the sea. I mean, can you see it? In order to lighten the vessel. But Jonah had gone down in the vessel's hold, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain approached him and said, what are you doing asleep? Get up! Get up, Jonah! Get up. Call on your gods. Maybe your God will think about us so we don't die. Meanwhile, each crewman told another, come on, let's cast lots to find out whose fault this is that we're in this trouble. So they cast lots, and the lot indicated Jonah. So they interrogated him. Tell us, why has this trouble come upon us? What's your occupation? Where'd you come from? What's your home country? What's your nationality? I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Christian. He replied, And I'm afraid of the Lord God of heaven who made the sea along with the dry land. In mounting terror, the men asked him, what have you done? The men were aware that he was fleeing from the Lord because he had admitted this to them. Because the sea was growing more and more stormy, they asked him, what do we have to do to you so the sea will calm down for us? Jonah told them, pick me up and toss me into the sea. This really happened. It's not make-believe. It's not fiction. This really happened. Real deal. His story. His story. The sea will calm down for you because I know that it's my fault that this mighty storm has come upon you. Even so, the crewmen rowed hard to bring the ship toward dry land, but they were unsuccessful because the sea was growing more and more stormy. At last, they cried out, please, Lord, do not let us perish because of this man's life, and do not hold us responsible for innocent blood, because you, Lord, have done what pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and tossed him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, offered sacrifice to the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a large sea creature to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the sea creature for 3 days and three nights. Jonah had become a monster. He was playing the monster. No dress up, no disguise, no costume. The real thing. Thank God for a monster storm. Thank God for a monster sea creature. Thank God for monster mercy. Thank God for monster grace. This is the mercy and grace of your living God, Jonah. God showed up when a man became a monster. A monster. Sleeping in the hold of the ship. Quite the cargo. God showed up. Jonah 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the sea creature. I don't know how you do it. It happened. He said, I called out to the Lord from the midst of affliction, directed at me, and he answered me. From the depths of death I cried out for help, and you heard my cry. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea. Flood waters engulfed me. All your breakers and your waves swirled over me. So I told myself, I have been driven away from you. How will I again gaze on your holy temple? Flood waters encompassed me. The deep surrounded me while seaweed wrapped around my head. I sank to the roots of the mountains. The earth's prison bars closed around me forever. Yet you resurrect the dead from the pit, my Lord God. As my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who cling to vain idols, any monstrous idols, any little idols. Monsters aren't always ginormous. Those who cling to vain idols leave behind the gracious love that could have been theirs. But as for me, with a voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance, that is salvation, is the Lord's. Then the Lord spoke to the sea creature and it spewed Jonah onto the dry land. What a story! What a testimony! A monster deliverance for a man. A monster deliverance for the man to deliver the man. Grace greater than all sin. Romans 5, 20 to 21, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And mercy. Mercy triumphs James 2:13, mercy triumphs over judgment. Micah 7:18, who is a God like you pardoning iniquity? I mean, think about it. You think about the iniquity, even in this room. The iniquity of our past. Who is a God like you pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights. He delights in mercy, loving kindness. This is our God. For this Jonah, this for Jonah, and what for us? For the one on the run, for the one in the hold of the ship, this for Jonah, and what for all? All those that are dead in monstrous trespasses and sins. Those that are not saved. Thank God for monster mercy. Thank God for monster grace because of a monster sacrifice. Matthew 12:38-41. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign. We want to see a sign from you," literally a confirming miracle. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous," this is, wow, quite the reply. "An evil and adulterous generation craves a sign." Just take it today. "And so no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the stomach of the sea monster for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up." What kind of words are these? "The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us," that he might bring you to God. "Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." I know time's running out. Thank God the Father for his monstrous love. John 3:14-17, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. He must be, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Listen, every single one of us, even the non-believer, you can decide right now, the one dead and monstrous trespasses and sins, you can leave this house of the Lord today with monster assurance, monster hope. Romans 5:8, "God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us." And thank our closest friend. I sure hope he's your closest friend. Thank our closest friend for his monster love. 1 John 3:16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Please accept it today. It's worthy of your acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Once a monster sinner, saved by Jesus Christ. Oh, the monster chasm. Sin separated humanity from God. No way back. Impossible for us to regain in our own strength relationship with God. That's a monster. That's a monster problem. But thank God for a monstrous bridge. The bridge, Jesus is the bridge to life. He laid down his life that we might have life. John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 10:15, I laid down my life for the sheep. Can't you see it? The master, monster chasm, Jesus, the monster bridge, he lays down his life. This bridge can handle the weight of all sheep. Of all the sheep. Of all humankind, of all humanity. A monster bridge. Make thy way upon thy knees. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't get clearer than this. No man. You're saying, thank God I'm a woman. He's talking about mankind. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Worship ministry, please come. Job, Jonah, whatever our name is, whatever your name is, it's time to face the truth about the monsters in your life. You can't handle them. The Lord is the only one who can. And you know, there's a monster called death. A monster called death. They're at the end of life. Well, why do we have to talk about death? Because we're all going to die. There's a monster at the end called death. But that monster can be dealt with now. Right now. We can have assurance that the last monster is destroyed. That our death will be no monster, just sleep. Your son, daughter says to you, come lay down with me, there's a monster. Monster in the room. So you open up the closet, you check, there's no monster. You turn the lights on, you look under the bed, you look under the covers. I mean, you're doing everything. You're climbing up on the... Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Just sleep. Just sleep. We can have assurance that the last monster is destroyed, that our death will be no monster, just sleep, and arising in glory. This is the hope. This is the reality for every true follower of Jesus Christ. Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, remember when the holy martyr Stephen was stoned? Acts 7:59-60. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, what's he saying? Rescue me. Get me out of this. Protect me. No. They stoned him. And he's calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. That's monster compassion. Are we there? Are we there yet? Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Remember Jesus? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Death put a door for the saint and a monster for the sinner. A monster that will not relent. A monster that takes one to its eternal, everlasting lair of torment. These words, dominion over the curse of death is sealed for those who are beloved of Christ. Yes, the Bible describes death as an enemy. It is not the only enemy of the Christian, but is described as the last enemy. In 1 Corinthians, Paul affirms that Christ will reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last of those enemies will be death. It should be a great comfort to the believer to know that the one in whom he places his trust is Christus Victor, anointed one. We see this clearly in Hebrews, where the author describes Jesus as our Archagos, or the supreme champion of his people. What a monster confidence we have. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And guess what, people of God? If we don't pass from this life before the final day, Jesus is coming. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning of verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to our God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why don't we all just leave this place today with monster faith? John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The voice, Bob, I got to smile when I read those words. My loved ones, we have been adopted into God's family, and we are officially his children now. The full picture of our destiny is not yet clear, but we know this much: when Jesus appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Well, let me share the words of Billy Graham. Some time ago, a columnist suggested 5 things that ought to be done about death. He said, first, accept the fact that you will die. Second, make arrangements if you are past 50 years, oh dear God, for the mechanics of dying. Third, make provision for those you are leaving behind. Check your insurance. Fourth, make a will. Fifth, he said, make an appointment with God, but I don't know how to suggest you do that. Well, I want to make a suggestion about how to do it. Repent. Repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can do it now. It's more than making an appointment with God. You really have to know Jesus. It's more than being a member of a church, more than being baptized, more than just living a good moral life. It is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ in which you have become willing to take up your cross and follow him, You have become willing to deny self and make him your Lord, your master, and savior. I am asking you to make sure. I'm asking you to make sure that Jesus Christ is in your heart and that you are ready to face the last great enemy of mankind, death. Are you ready to go through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil? Will his rod and staff comfort you? Is Christ yours? Will he be in that room with you when the last moment comes? Second Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, think about it. So much invested in insurance. Life insurance. Imagine if the investment was here as much and as such. Monster investment of the holy kind. Monsters. You're saying today, I need God. I need the Lord. Every behemoth, every leviathan, every mouse. God can. And you know, I'm praying, and I know there are many in this house that are praying, because this is a house of prayer. Oh, for a monster zeal, a monster passion, a monster fervor, a monster devotion, a monster love, a monster compassion, monster selflessness, monster determination, monster perseverance, monster loyalty.